My dear brother bishops, dear monsignors and fathers, dear deacons, dear fellow religious, dear sisters and brothers in Christ, and especially greetings to those who we honor today with these various papal honors. And we know it's an important moment in the church when all the auxiliary bishops show up at one time. And also Bishop Martino with him today. There are a lot of people in Philadelphia who are gathering at our football stadium this afternoon and think that what's happening there is more important than is happening here. But we know better. We know that what's happening here, really, which is a celebration of God's goodness as shown in the lives of our brothers and sisters, is more important than any football game. So if you didn't get a ticket to the game at our football stadium and were invited to be with us today, you had the better part. I'd like to welcome in a very special way, of course, those who are being honored and their families. It's good to see all of you here. Some of you are not members of our Catholic community, and we're very, very happy to have you with us today. Because when we honor God's goodness in the lives of others, that's something we celebrate together, whether we're Catholics or Christians or Jews or anyone of goodwill. So welcome to everybody who's with us today. The scripture reading for the Vespers on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, which is what our celebration is today, is very short, from the first letter of St. Peter. And I would like to repeat just a small portion of that to focus your attention on the Word of God. This is what St. Peter said to the church so long ago. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope. And we believe that God is giving us an opportunity, frequently, every day really, to be born again, to start over, to be made by His grace into the new creation that God has planned for our world. We believe as Christians that God calls us and has a plan for us, that we don't define ourselves, but that in every way we have been defined and called by God. We live in a culture of self-definition. That's a characteristic of our time. People think that they are self-fabricated. You've heard of the self-made man. There's no such thing. We believe that, as Americans perhaps in a special way, that we are autonomous, which means we rule ourselves. We are self-governing. We think that I am my personal possession. You know, when I celebrate the sacrament of confirmation, which I do often, I ask the young people who are gathered who they belong to. I ask them, do you belong to your parents? They're generally in the sixth grade, so they debate that a bit, but in the end say no. They're not owned by their parents. And then I ask them, when you get married, are you going to be owned by your husband? And of course, the young women immediately say, no, not at all. And the guys follow in the same path. But when I ask them, do you belong to yourself? They all say yes, because they're somehow infected with this infection of self-definition. People today think they're captains of their own fate, masters of their own souls. They think that they are the lone author of the story of their lives. We've heard Frank Sinatra sing it, "I'll do it my way," right? This is a characteristic of our time. But to be a Christian is to see things differently. It's to understand that we are all called and defined by the Creator, by God. Our Jewish ancestors in the faith knew this in very clear ways. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we hear these words, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And that's something that they were proud of, that they belonged to God, God's chosen people. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So we're all chosen by God, all of us equally. Today, we celebrate the fact that some of our brothers and sisters are being recognized by Pope Francis as having responded to that grace which comes with God's call. They're representative of hundreds and thousands of people in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, but also in the church throughout our country. You know, they're not the only ones who deserve the recognition, but they're the ones that the Pope is recognizing today. And as they come forward, I think you'll notice that they represent the spectrum of our church. People from different communities, people from different ethnic backgrounds, people who have, in the world's point of view, varying kinds of accomplishments. But all of them are equal, because all of them are chosen and called by God. And so as we celebrate their uniqueness, we also celebrate the fact that they are part of our community, they're our brothers and sisters, and we're grateful to God for them, because by their own lives, they teach us how to be good and how to be generous. Now, dear honorees, people probably think we're honoring you for what you've done. And I think in some sense that's probably true. I mean, you wouldn't be noticed if you haven't done something. But what we really honor is who you are. Not what you've done, but how good you've become. Because what we do flows from who we are. You know? And what pleases God is who we are, more than what we do. And God has called you, and you have responded. And for that, God is proud, and we are grateful. So as you come forward today, accepting this award from Pope Francis, understand that you follow in the footsteps of a long history of people who have loved God and served Him generously. So receive the award with humility, but with gladness, because we celebrate the goodness of God's grace, which has accomplished a great deal in you. May God be praised in what we do today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.